Although President Obama opposed the Supreme Court's January 2010 Citizens United decision that eliminated many limits on corporate contributions to election campaigns, he symbolically threw in the towel in early February to endorse super political action committees, or super PACs, created by the decision. With his endorsement, Obama joined Republican presidential candidates who are already using super PACs and urged his supporters to make donations to the Priorities USA super PAC, established to make unlimited expenditures on the president's behalf in the 2012 campaign. But as the White House made this announcement, a press release stated that the president favors action, by constitutional amendment if necessary, to place reasonable limits on all such spending. In response to the Citizens United decision that opened the floodgates to record amounts of unlimited and anonymous corporate campaign cash, a number of national groups are campaigning to overturn the High Court decision. Activists are gathering petition signatures and urging the passage of resolutions at the city and state level in support of an amendment to the U.S. Constitution that would reverse the court's declaration in Citizens United that corporations have the same rights as living natural persons. Your reporter spoke with Jeff Clements, co-founder and general counsel with the Free Speech for People campaign and author of the book Corporations Are Not People, Why They Have More Rights Than You Do, and What You Can Do About It. Here he talks about the impact the Citizens United decision has had on increased spending in the 2012 election campaign and the grassroots effort to reverse that decision and strengthen democracy.
The corporate spending and secret spending and massive spending by billionaires and millionaires in the federal races since Citizens United decided, and in state races, although there's less data on that, has just been extraordinary. It's leaped by multiple factors. So in 2010, the midterm elections, it was the first election after Citizens United, and it was the most expensive election in American history. $4 billion was spent in various races, totaling, and at least hundreds of millions of those dollars came from sources that we're not really sure where the money came from and whether it's corporate money or not corporate money. And the sad thing is, despite that massive expenditure and the corrupting influence of the corporate money in that election, 60% of eligible voters did not bother to vote. We're now seeing much worse in the 2012 election, in the primaries already, and we'll see it'll get worse to come. And we're starting to get data on it that shows that the vast, vast majority, upwards of 97% of the super PAC money in the Republican primaries, and Obama's going to use a super PAC too, but 97% of Romney's super PAC, for example, of the money that comes into that comes in increments of greater than $10,000. So that isn't a super PAC that's collecting money from interested citizens. We know that some of the money, again, it's hard because there's no disclosure requirement, so there are technical disclosure requirements for super PACs, but they're easily evaded. So we only know pieces of it, but we know that big energy companies like Alpha, the global coal corporation, is putting money into super PACs like American Crossroads. We know that News Corporation and other corporations put money into both the 2010 election and the current election. So it has had an immediate impact on the elections, no question.
Jeffrey, after a century of precedent on the Supreme Court in this country to keep large amounts of corporate cash out of our election campaigns, how is it that this Supreme Court, the Roberts Court, overturned that precedent? There has been speculation that the Roberts Court has had undue influence by the billionaire Koch brothers and others who've wined and dined them and had them at special secret meetings. Is there any validity to those theories? And what do you think really is happening that has dramatically changed our campaign finance law?
The validity to those particular concerns, I think there's some validity, but I would put it in the larger context. The problem is corporate influence at all levels. It's corporate influence, corporate power assertion throughout our government. And unfortunately, sadly, it has affected our judiciary too. But I think we would miss the real story if we just looked for a connection to the Koch brothers, for instance, because Citizens United, in my view, and the story I tell in the book, is it's really the end game of a sustained, very well-funded corporate campaign to twist the Constitution and take rights in order to undermine democracy. I think it goes back to 1970 or so when Lewis Powell famously wrote what's called the Powell Memo. It was secret at the time to the Chamber of Commerce, advising that corporations do exactly this. He went on the Supreme Court. He wrote at least four decisions, creating the notion, something called corporate speech, which had never existed in American history. He built a majority for this doctrine, and it has been used well before Citizens United to strike down environmental laws, public health laws, worker protection laws, financial regulation. In that sense, if you look at it from sort of that long view of corporations creating by sustained litigation, filing of briefs, funding of legal foundations, funding of, I'd say, corporatist more than conservative judicial doctrine, Citizens United is almost the logical next step. If corporations have rights to strike down all these other laws, then election law is even more important if you have constitutional rights, and the logic is impeccable. It's also catastrophically wrong.
Jeff, I wanted to ask you, in terms of the effort underway now to overturn the Citizens United decision in this unlimited and unaccountable corporate cash coming into our campaign finance system, what is the most direct and, in your view, the way that could be most successful in overturning that Supreme Court decision?
Well, the most important thing is to challenge the constitutional distortion, the fabrication that the case has created. And the way those kind of disputes are resolved in America is through the constitutional amendment process. So that process will need two-thirds of vote of Congress at some point. We'll need three-quarters of the states to ratify it. But in the meantime, by driving that amendment conversation, we need the People's Rights Amendment. We need the amendment to overturn the idea as well that money is speech. We need to do it everywhere, cities and towns doing resolutions. That's happening right now all over the country. It's happening with a lot of different groups, and I think that's the key, is we need to not sort of argue too much about what the exact language is. We'll get that in terms of the amendment. There'll be a good debate. There's plenty of versions of them pending in Congress right now, but we need to do all of the resolution campaigns in cities, towns, states. So I wish I had a nice, easy answer that there's only one thing you have to do, but actually we have to do all of those things.
That was Jeff Clements, co-founder and general counsel with the Free Speech for People campaign and author of the book Corporations Are Not People. Find more information on the grassroots campaign to overturn the Citizens United decision on our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.